Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Fourth and final hour here on this Tuesday afternoon. Darren, Donnick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5, The Game. We always enjoy our check-ins and chats with our next guest, Chris Domino, on the line with us. 680, The Fan, down in Atlanta. Chris, how you doing?
I'm doing okay, guys. How are you guys doing?
Great. We just brought you on to talk about MLS returning and the Atlanta United and their season. Wanted to get your thoughts on that. No, actually, that's not why.
Well, this will be the quickest guest moment that you've ever had in the history of this show. Fellas, I think it's great. On to a title. That's what I would actually give you.
Just tell us when and where, right?
Yes. Yes. Please, aren't we living in a world where we just need some answers as opposed to arguing right there in the cul-de-sac in front of all the children in the neighborhood? Wouldn't it be nice if we could just come to a decision that everybody goes, you good with that? I'm good with that. Are you good with that? Sure. And then again, we don't have to fight in front of the children, which is the worst thing in the world, only beaten by the fact that you've decided to not only fight in front of your kids, but as I said, bring it out to your front lawn to let the neighbors hear the whole thing.
Yeah, we had Bob Costas on to start the last hour, and he works for MLB Network, and he didn't have, you know, nice things to say. I think we're all in agreements. We had Ryan McGee on, and he doesn't even cover the sport, and he didn't have anything nice to say. I mean, no. That's where everybody is. I mean, it's not even about sides anymore. Everybody, no. There's enough blame to go around for everybody. You know, I said earlier, Chris, on the show last night in that Return to Play SportsCenter special, you know, Rob Manfred at least did it. I don't know how much he helped himself, but I thought it was a really, really bad look for Tony Clark and the MLBPA to release a statement. They had no representation, nobody to come on the airwaves and give their side. I mean, I just thought it was a horrible look.
Well, if you believe what you heard, and Buster only said it, and I believe somebody else is on board with saying that, you know, Tony Clark's negotiating ploy for years has been just saying no to everything, but then saying no the second and third time. That's not negotiating. That's not. And again, I don't know what Tony Clark's qualifications are. He had 251 home runs in his major league career. Rob Manfred hit none. But I do know this. They're not in the same weight class when it comes to negotiation. Now, the good news for Tony Clark is that nobody likes anybody. Like I've said, if there was a line, if there were two countries, like and dislike, and if you drew a line and that's the border, nobody's likable. Both sides are in a country of dislike, maybe even a little bit more than that, which is kind of crazy because usually you're supposed to be able to pick out the side that you at least might be rooting for a little bit more than the other. I think a lot of people like myself have thrown up my hands and said, I'd like to clunk your heads together more than anything else. And before you guys actually kill the sport, I'd like you to realize that you're about to kill the sport. But third party in, like there's no referee. I was trying to come up with the analogy. I think from a player's side, they believe that the owners are trying to pull an okey-doke with the math. Now think back to when you had elementary school math. Everything to the right of the equation, the sum, the final, is 4. Players believe that what the owners have done is basically change up the equation on the left side. 8 divided by 2 equals 4. 1 times 4 equals 4. 2 plus 2 equals 4. And I think the players are saying, you're not changing anything other than what's on the left side, which doesn't matter. The equal sign, post-equal sign, is all that matters. You keep giving it the same number. On the owner's side, what we keep finding out is that these guys, the 100% is not something you're ever supposed to say, and Rob Manfred should be smarter than that. To have to walk back from 100% is a really, really bad look in only a few-day period.
Gosh, you went pretty deep with that math stuff. Good job
but
by you.
But isn't that what it is? Like, if you're telling me that you're giving me something different, yet at the end I know that I have the same amount in my hand every time, what you've done is you just tried to okey-doke me. You know, and Tony Clark is at least, I don't know if he's got the numbers right, but at least he's telling you I was smart enough to be okey-doke. But it's a mismatch in terms of weight classes with one guy negotiating many, many, many contracts and winning, see Rob Manfred, and Tony Clark, who quite honestly has been, I think the perception is that the players have lost more in the last 4 or 5 years than they really ever lost in the past.
Why on earth would Rob Manfred go on 4 or 5 days ago and say 100% with Carl Ravish. 100% feel good there's going to be a season, and then 4 to 5 days later say I'm not even sure if there is going to be a season. Like, well, why would you ever say that if you didn't have something, the ink wasn't drying on something?
Right. It's a mistake. He made a rookie-ish type mistake by saying 100%, cuz nothing's really 100% until it's signed, sealed, delivered, and probably a little bit after that. So, bad mistake. But he's getting his marching orders, his speaking talking points from the owners. And I know that you guys have heard me say this, but I believed it for more than 25 years. He's not my commissioner. When I know that you sit on one side of the table, when I know that you know the owner's bottom line to do a deal, you're not a commissioner. I want a third party in. I want a referee. Here's the analogy. Every fight that I've ever seen, short of maybe a tap out, fake tap out type situation, there's always been somebody to referee. Low blow, pick them up. Point deducted, not good, not going to happen again. Break them up. They don't have a third party in the room who is supposed to be the voice of reason to help explain that you guys are now fighting dirty enough where people are hoping you actually knock each other out. And by the way, now instead of a fist fight, it seems to be like it's an episode of Oz where both sides want to find a shiv. And again, going back to the middle of the street, the cul-de-sac of the front lawn, it seems like both sides actually want to shiv each other and have the whole world see it, which is just so ridiculous for the state of the game right now.
Talking to Chris Domino, and Chris, along those lines, what's frustrating to me is when they go public, if somebody like a Trevor Bauer or somebody who, you know, in a roundabout way is either named or unnamed, quoted for a story for a writer that's really going to take their side, they act as if that piece or that tweet is going to win over the entire public and have everybody say, well, you know what? I hadn't thought about that. Yes, the players are 100% right, or the owners are 100% right. And that gets you nowhere.
Yeah, it's funny because big picture world stuff going on right now. Here's what I believe. I'm intelligent enough to be involved in a conversation, but I'm not intelligent enough to lead it. And I certainly know with 140 characters, if you think you're going to drop a pearl, if you think you're Socrates, if you think you're Plato, if you think you're Churchill, I'm going to be quoted many, many years from now, there's a really good chance you're not. The fact that some people believe they're going to drop a pearl and it's going to be like a lifelong, wow, do you remember the moment that fill in the blank with anybody, certainly in these two sides in baseball, is going to drop the one where everybody stops and says, there it is. That's the tweet we've been waiting for. It's not happening. Don't speak to hypotheticals. You can't win. The Arizona thing was a hypothetical. We've talked about it. You don't speak to hypotheticals. Rob Manfred saying 100% was ridiculous. But then what he found out is maybe a couple of owners, 1, 2, 4, 7 of them, have said, we would lose less money if we kept the doors closed. Therefore, let's rethink whether we even want to throw a 50 or 54 game out. The other part is if you were trying to hide the fact that you were going to actually go and get a grievance and it was going to be $1 billion on top of that, of course there's going to be a moment where they have to readdress what was said and written and signed in March. But the fact that they didn't even walk out of March with anything concrete enough where both sides would not know that it was airtight, that's a mistake. That's like the 100% comment. How did you leave that meeting in March with stuff open, the possibility of doors that could be walked through, windows that could be crawled out of, sheetrock that you could actually punch your way through to go, I don't know what he said. I don't really care anymore. We're just going to go out and file a grievance, counter grievance on top of that. It's just a disaster. And they're not, I have not heard one voice that I think has been the voice of reason or the voice of I trust that guy, which is really incredible when you have the alleged smartest people in and around the game running this whole thing.
It's just, it drives me mad. And I'm getting fatigued about the whole thing.
Oh, no doubt. We don't have the stomach for it. I don't have the want to even go to the table now. Like, I don't care. I'd like them to knock each other out. I'd like them to actually do something where they had a reality check like they don't seem to have had yet. And again, what's the job? Rob Manfred's job is to not be commissioner of baseball. It's to keep his job. What's Tony Clark's job? It's to keep his job. It's like an elected official. What becomes your job after you're elected? To get reelected. And if Tony Clark believes that the best way is to just say, that's it, we've dug in, bring it on, okay, that might work to some degree, but it might not. And it leads me to believe that there has not been a lot of thought out, what are we doing to the game big picture, as opposed to what am I doing for my side in the short term? And I'm going to give you guys this. I had a conversation with Marvin Miller back in 2001. It's going to be on a podcast that I have, Hardball Podcast. It's going to be very different than the first 21 episodes. It's going to drop tomorrow, and I'm telling you, it is a history lesson where Marvin Miller talks about how he got the job, and we go through a whole bunch of things. I developed sort of a off-phone friendship with him for a couple of years after that. I hope people listen, because if you want to understand where the players were in 1966, they had less than $200 in their Players Association bank account. Do you know what the value of everything they owned was? Everything was about $5,700, and that's the office equipment and the lease that they just paid that month's rent on. So they're starting from a position of, we really had nothing to lose except we wanted things to get better, and now we're at a point where it's a $10-plus billion business, which has been really good for the owners. Marvin Miller's been called Satan. He's been called the devil. He's been called the greatest thing to ever happen to sports and everything in between. But it really is interesting that this many years later, they have not figured out a way to at least make it seem civil in a world where 40 million people are unemployed and there's a pandemic going on and there's safety issues. There's not been one consideration of that, it seems, publicly. It's really just been about the money. And I think it's beyond off-putting for most people right now.
Listen to that. I've always been fascinated. Marvin Miller. Chris, I want to ask you about one other thing. I mean, you've been doing sports talk show in Atlanta for a long time. I watched the HBO series on the child murders of the late 70s, uh-huh. early 80s. I mean, just eye-opening in what they cover in that, not only just the horrible crimes, but also just in the perspective of Atlanta as a city. And now, of course, speed up to today, all that we've seen the last few weeks with some rioting, the protests and everything. What's it been like for you? How have you tried to handle and try to find ways to have good discussions, important discussions during this time in that city?
Yeah, I am really cognizant, and I'm going to go back to what I said. I do believe I'm intelligent enough to be part of the conversation, but I'm not in a life position, nor am I intelligent enough to lead it. I also don't believe that, you know, you're supposed to have every conversation with every person in your life. I'm assuming you guys go, oh, that guy knows a little bit more about baseball. Let's have a baseball conversation with him. Oh, that guy knows a little bit more about movies or politics. And you sort of, whether it's a friend group or even on your show, I'm not so sure that I'm supposed to be the guy that's moderating the conversation. I'm up for the conversation. I don't want to run away from it. I do believe I'm certainly in a position to learn more than I've ever known if I speak and choose to speak and listen to the right people. My problem with the whole thing is this is an incredible city. And I understand that not everything is going to be perfect in any place. There's no utopia. It doesn't exist. There are going to be things. I'm nervous that people, because this is what we do, whether it's through social media, which is, you know, it's easier to do it now than ever before, or it's through they read a headline but not really read the whole story. You know, it's a cut and paste headline world instead of actually reading or trying to figure out what might be going on. I don't like the idea that the city at times is going to be thought of in a way that it's really not. I'm not telling you these things haven't happened. I'm not blind to it. I know what the reality was in terms of what people saw on their TV. I also know that you have an opportunity to take what is the same piece of video and put a commentary on it that could actually get people to believe this or that, because that's part of the job of the entertainment world or the news industry. I just don't like the idea that there are so many good people in this town and really smart people and people who want to make change that it might not be thought of that way, that it might be looked at as something different than that. And that's sort of bothersome. I'm not here to, you know, to hold the banner up and start screaming about what my city is and what it isn't. There have been people who have lived here longer. There are people who have had an opportunity to hopefully push a real good cause further than I would ever have, even with the format of a microphone. I don't believe that sticking to sports is really the way to do it now. I really never have. But I also think you better pick and choose who you choose to have a conversation with. Angry phone caller or a guy who's got an agenda or a guy who's trying to play gotcha. You got to be careful of that stuff. And if you're not conscious of that, sometimes 140 characters can be looked at and an interpretation can be made based upon somebody's individual lens. And I try to tell people, you know, you better know that what you're trying to get across in 140 characters, it's not possible. You want to create a T-shirt? Yeah, create a T-shirt. You can have a kitschy slogan on it, and you can walk around with that. And by the way, at some point, somebody's going to be offended by a T-shirt or a picture on a T-shirt, so be prepared for it if you're up for that. But I'm not sure that 140 characters, or quite honestly a phone call from a guy in a suburb of Atlanta, is really what you want to hang your hat on as any individual in our job or any job. I just think you got to be careful who you choose to listen to and why you're listening to them. Be open to any conversation. Certainly be willing to say, I'm sorry or I was wrong about something. But I'm not really sure that the whole idea of who's going to bump for a city or who's going to bump for a cause is an easy thing to do. I know the difference between right and wrong. That one I do know. I know that there are shades of gray, but I'm more of a right and wrong person. That I'll always talk about. But if you're trying to argue with somebody in a position that you really can't, you're not going to be able to get your point across. You're going to be cut off. There's not enough time. There's not enough characters. I think you're in a really, really tough spot to make an intelligent conversation happen that way.
We're talking to Chris Domino, 680 The Fan in Atlanta. And just back to the baseball stuff, you know, we know that sports and people how to take sports in is very different now. I mean, you know, I've been to Truist Park, still getting used to that, several times, yeah. And there's been half the place has been full, and then I've been to sellouts there. I mean, it just, yeah. You never know with yep. how people take in their sports. But with this and with the bad taste that is going to be in people's mouths, I feel like, you know, in that beautiful ballpark and the Battery, your studio is right there next to the stadium. Places like that are going to take a hit. That's where people are going to say, yeah, you know what? You want to fight during a pandemic? This is how we're going to answer that.
Right. And look, I don't know of any place other than maybe in some college football towns where the booster check has been the driving element to get a guy fired, right? I think that's a real thing in college football. If the boosters, if people stop paying their booster-type money because they want to change, and then they're willing to cut a check to get a guy out, that's a real thing. It doesn't work like that in professional sports because I have never really seen a boycott that has taken it to that extreme in the world of professional sports. But I think I told you this, guys. This will make, if they don't play baseball, this will make 94-95 look like the bar mitzvah or wedding that I keep talking about. It'll look like a celebration compared to the fallout. Again, it's too easy, it's cheap, but maybe it's just a social indicator. If anybody has watched Game of Thrones and you saw the Red Wedding, all of a sudden you look around and go, oh my God, look at this place. And I think that that's my problem with no third party in when it comes to these discussions. I don't think there's a reasonable voice. I don't think the commissioner speaks for me. I know for a fact he doesn't. I don't think Tony Clark speaks for me, the baseball fan. And I'm a capitalist. Go get yours. But there is a point of diminishing returns. And I just think that this, I'm not budging, you budge. I'm not budging, you budge. And then they can't even figure out what it is they signed or what it is they agreed on. It's just so, it's not sophomoric. There's too much at stake for that. Is it at times moronic? Yeah. Is it at times, you know, you can take something that really needs help in the game of baseball, and you're not helping it. You're just—I don't know one thing that's been pushed forward. Do you? Can you name one thing that baseball has done right to push itself forward to create a new fan, to create a generational fan base that might not exist now, to ensure that you have a chance to generate a generational fan base that hasn't made their decision yet whether they like baseball? I can't think of, short of the game, play ball, game over, the game itself. But can you think of one other thing in the last, I don't know, 6 months, certainly, a year, 2 years, 5 years, that the 21 other hours baseball has pushed itself forward to matter? Because I can't. And how they don't realize that you need help in that department is amazing to me in a $10-plus billion a year business.
Well, Chris, you still have people that are just living in the past of, well, we're America's pastime. Everybody loves us. I mean, we're still number one, and it hasn't been that way for a very, very long time. We just watched a documentary about two guys that were using steroids that helped bring them out of the damage that was done in 94 and 95. And that's what
it took.
But
then we also heard about a new billion-dollar TV deal. You know, so again, I'm not angry that baseball figured out a way to get $1 billion out of Turner. I'm not angry about it. If I thought it was going to help push the game along, create a new fan base, or generate more excitement, I'd be all for it. The players look at it and go, you know, Bill DeWitt, Ricketts over in Chicago, one guy's talking about, well, there's really no cash in baseball. Another guy's talking about the fact that you guys have no idea this isn't a very profitable business. Yet what did they do right after that? They showed like an $8.4 million home of Bill DeWitt. Now, whether it's an accurate visual or it's one that you're actually supposed to be debating, that's the type of thing that happens. If you say this isn't a profitable business and you live in an $8.4 million home and you might have other homes on top of that, it's really hard to get the public on your side. I think I told you guys, the only time my blood rate, you know, my pulse, my blood pressure has gone up is when Blake Snell said what he said, because I knew, I'm telling you why it went up. I knew it was going to cause a, who could say the dumbest thing? Like that really, it really came down to, now it's a contest. Blake Snell, like a high jump or a pole vault, or set the bar. And the only thing I could think of is This isn't good because he's approaching world record territory, but I think somebody's going to go higher. And I'm just waiting for that moment. I think the 100%, now I'm not so sure. I think Tony Clark just calling it a salary cap when they talked about revenue sharing. I'm aware of all of the code. I just think at some point somebody, and not playing baseball, or a grievance filed and a counter-grievance filed, might be the, hey, you know what, Blake? Sorry, you're no longer the leader in the clubhouse because somebody else has gone higher than you. And that's the only time my blood pressure went up is because I knew it was probably not going to be the last dumb thing said. And in case people don't remember, he basically said that playing for $1.8 million was the equivalent of playing for you-know-what, playing for blank.
Well, actually, I thought it was $3.5 million, wasn't it? Because it was half his salary of seven?
Half a salary plus what they were going to do in terms of the first conversation about prorating, where you would actually take a haircut on top of that. So I think we did the math. Oh, yeah, and by the way, here was the other thing he said. Let's not forget. He said, and by the way, do you know I have to pay taxes on this?
Yeah.
Like, that was the other infuriating thing for people. Oh, really? I didn't realize. What is this taxes thing that you're talking about? Wow, that happens to you?
Never heard of that.
But I knew it wasn't going to be the worst moment of all of this. And it was his comment plus the idea that we are now in an arms race to find out who can say or do the stupidest thing.
You should have been listening to the show the day those comments came out on these airwaves.
Well, look,
your blood pressure was high? Go back and listen to the audio of me. It wasn't my best moments on radio.
Well, and mine was not high to the point of yelling. Mine was just, I joke, I do it in the studio now. I put my fingers on my wrist and go, yeah, you know what, they didn't get me this time. And I've really made a conscious decision in my life, as well as what we do for a living, even before all this stuff, to not everything needs a hot take, not everything needs to be screamed about. I just think at a certain point, when I checked my pulse after that comment, I think I was skipping a little bit higher than I had. But it was really because of not only the comment, it was it's like a race to the moon. It was a race to the moon to figure out who could say the dumbest thing when all is said and done. And sometimes it's not just a line. It's not a quote. It's actions. And the idea that we still don't have baseball and the idea that we're not even sure if these guys trust each other enough to take whatever the agreement was in March, to take whatever's been written in former collective bargaining agreements, to at least have the wherewithal to say times are different now. We can't do this now. We have to do this now. And I think the lack of a third party in the room, and I think a lack of accountability when it comes to who the commissioner works for, I think a lack of accountability when it comes to is it really one man, one vote baseball? We don't know that, by the way. Like, I don't know if 50% plus one guy would say, my God, let it in, let's do this, or if they're galvanized. That's their business. But it doesn't seem like there's anybody who has the ability to stand up and say, hey, you're out of line, and you're out of line, and we're going to figure out a way to do this. Because if not, here's the price you're going to pay. I just don't think they're smart enough to realize the price they're going to pay when all is said and done.
Yes or no? You work in a Braves game this year?
Yes. I'm still of the belief that
you
there is
still,
going to be
after baseball. All of that, you still believe you're going to be working a Braves game this year?
It's harder, but I think my belief is, look, it's so crazy that I am far from a Pollyanna, and maybe I'm just being a Pollyanna in this case, and maybe I'm going to hate myself at some point for feeling this way. It's not that I trust my fellow man all that much. It's just that I actually believe that somebody is going to make a point where both sides have to stop and say, what are we doing to ourselves long term? Whether it's somebody on the owner side saying the valuation of our team, it was this, but now it's only going to be this. Do we really want to work in that world? Players are going to go, look, I know they're supposed to play baseball next year, and I'm assuming a collective bargaining agreement means they will. But I'm not so sure that we won't get to the point where they're so angry at each other that next year, if it's not in doubt, it's going to be the equivalent of when people in Cleveland knew the Browns were leaving, what did they do that year? They don't show up. If I'm convinced you're not going to be playing baseball in 2022, what if I don't want to make the emotional or financial investment in 2021? You might physically be playing, but I've actually said, me as a fan, if you're going to do this and you're not going to be here next year, why should I give you my money this year?
Especially if there's health concerns with going to the park to begin with.
Right. But no doubt about it. But I'm talking about next year. If it was just, if we all believe that their 2022 could get banged or they're going to go through this nonsense again and do it publicly, to me it's the equivalent of the lame duck franchise in a city. Why do I want to invest my time, money, and emotion in you if you're not going to be there for me? Therefore, if you're leaving, I'm going to pretend you're already gone this year. That stinks. But I do think that could become pervasive if somebody doesn't figure out a way to at least fix this and change what I think is the narrative now, that neither side cares enough about the people who foot the bill.
By the way, the ratings came out for Long Gone Summer, the 30 for 30.
Yeah.
Sunday night, have you seen it? Seen the ratings?
I can guess.
How do you think they did? How do you think they did with everything we just talked about?
I don't think they did well.
They bombed. It bombed.
Yeah.
Their ratings
it's a boring
were
story.
Awful.
It wasn't very well done. I mean, that was part of it.
Well, I can tell you this. I knew both of the characters, and I'm on record on Friday before any of this happened. There will not be one quote coming out of this that on Monday people are going to go, wow, did you hear what McGuire or Sosa or anybody else said? They're not wired that way. Neither one of those guys is quotable to begin with. And I did mention, and I did speak to the director later in the day Friday. I said, I'm not expecting a lifebed confessional from Sammy Sosa. And short of a lifebed confessional from Sammy Sosa, this thing is just going to be, wow, do you remember how long these home runs were? And they were bombs. Look, I remember it, and I try to figure out, am I culpable in the fact that I knew what was going on? And I did, because I came from a steroid world in New Jersey in the 1980s. I'm more galled that baseball and Bud Selig, another mouthpiece who wasn't very good at being a mouthpiece, said, we didn't even know about steroids until after this stuff started. Well, that's absurd. Of course you did. If as I like to say, if I could have walked into Gold's Gym in Milltown, New Jersey in 1985, and found you don't mind a needle? Go to him. Oh, you don't like a needle? Go to him. You want to lose a little bit? I knew all of that stuff in the 80s. So a billion-dollar business is telling me they didn't know. Well, no, they put their head in the sand. And by the way, I'm also done being angry about it. I believe what I believe, whether it's about Maris, whether it's about Hank Aaron. But I'm not angry at guys for doing it anymore. It was scoundrelly. It was short-cutting. I get all that. My mind hasn't changed about that. But in a world where they pay more for home runs than doubles and they pay more to be in the majors than the minors, I understand it. I can't play the holier-than-thou card about it. I just know what I know. I think you've got fake in you. I think your numbers are not really what they were supposed to be. And if everybody was doing it, were you the best of everybody doing it? I don't like when people say, well, the hitters had all the advantages. No, pitchers were doing it too. Pitchers need their legs more than hitters need their arms. So, of course, pitchers were doing it. I don't like the idea that some guys like Roy Oswalt, who I did get into it with at spring training one year because he'd heard what I said. Roy Oswalt said, these hitters are taking food off my table. And I said, hey, brother, look to your left and look to your right, because you've got a couple of guys in this team who are hitting three-run homers to put you up 6-1 to put food on your table.
Yep.
Like, that's the short-sightedness that I really couldn't stand. And by the way, you might have a guy coming out of your bullpen who secures a win for you, so when you go to arbitration, you could say you had 17 of them instead of 12 of them. Like, those are the guys that I'm a little bit more pissed off at, that I'm not saying that you don't have a holier-than-thou attitude because you chose not to, and a middle infielder who was out of the game maybe 3 years before he could have been or should have been because he didn't do it. I have empathy for those guys. They had a choice, and they decided not to go down that road. I'll give them credit, but I'm not going to kill the guys who realized that there was more money in it to do it than not in a world where they weren't testing at that point.
Chris, good stuff as always. Really appreciate it. You and the family continue to be safe. We'll talk to you soon, man, hopefully with good news.
Yeah, I was just going to say, let me ask you guys, do you think we play across the board?
We've admitted on this show it's the first time since this whole time that we actually woke up today and said we're not sure there's going to be a season.
So you don't believe it's a 50-50 prop anymore. You believe it's below 50%.
Yep.
Absolutely. I kind of think they're not going to play.
Yep.
Wow. Well, then they will.
I'm going to say slightly over 50% that they play, okay. But I've not been this low the entire time.
Yeah, but damage done. If they don't play, you guys all admit that the scramble to try to fix this, whether it's a week from now, or a year from now, 5 years from now, is going to be incredible. It might be. It's 30 for 30 worthy to be behind a closed door and mic them up and try to figure out what the next set of meetings is. Oh, my God, we just killed the golden goose. Is there another golden goose out there, or can we revive it?
That's the damage has already been done, even if they agree to something. The damage has already been done.
Right. The goose, as I said, has had feathers shot off it. These guys just want to Uzi it right to the heart, though. No baseball is an Uzi to the heart.
Chris, thanks, man. Really appreciate it.
All right, guys. Listen, always appreciate it. Thanks very much.
Chris Domino, 680 The Fan. He's been doing it for a long time down in Atlanta, and as you can tell, very passionate about this baseball story. We will come back. More of Darren, Donick, and Chase next. Well, there's certainly been a lot of passion on the show today. Hasn't been lacking that. Zach Curtis, former Major League pitcher in the first hour, Ryan McGee in the second hour. He certainly brings it every time. Bob Costas at noon. And then Chris Tomino. Boy, you could tell he was fired up. As I mentioned in that interview, the Long Gone Summer 30 for 30 ratings are out, and they were absolutely awful. One of the worst 30 for 30 ratings ever. It bombed.
Wow.
Big time. I think, if I'm looking at this correctly, second worst ratings ever.
Hmm.
Of any of the 30 for 30s.
I didn't think it'd be like that. I mean, it wasn't.
What was the best? What was lower?
The Hawaiian, The Legend of Eddie Aikau. It was in 2013.
Yeah, I don't remember.
And it barely beat out that. I don't even remember that 30 for 30.
Hmm.
So why do you think that was?
Well, I think what we've been talking about today doesn't help.
Just the frustration with the game of baseball overall?
Yeah, I mean, I realize it's taken a turn since Sunday for the worse. But I think even leading up to Sunday night, it wasn't in a good place, as we've talked about. I mean, they've turned a lot of people out. You guys remember, I mean, he brought up Blake Snell. You remember what my reaction was to Blake Snell? I mean, you think I was the only person that felt that way? I mean, I hammered him for a good week on the show, and I didn't feel bad about it one bit. And there's been a whole lot of twists and turns since then. None of it's really good. None of it's good. It's, you know, like you said, Blake Snell has been off the radar. You know, there's been so much bad stuff and going the wrong way that nobody even brings him up anymore. But, you know, I'm sure that played a factor in it. I mean, I don't say it wasn't, you know, I told you on Monday, I admitted yesterday on the show, I didn't particularly love it. I thought it was okay. I said C plus, B minus, and that's probably being generous. But, I mean, nobody knew going into it. I mean, you didn't know what it was going to be, so That shouldn't have you not watching. Now that you know, maybe you don't watch, but I don't know. It's a good question. Like, why were they that low?
Yeah.
Two huge names? I don't know. It's a good question. I think a lot of it has to do with where baseball is
right now. I think also
it
wasn't one of the better ones.
But how would you know that? How would you know that?
Well, there were some media reviews, just like there's a movie review before the movie comes out. There had been quite a few people that saw it that were kind of blah about it. It doesn't really break ground, even though nobody had ever tackled it before. I just think it could have been so much more than it was. But also, maybe are we just tired of watching 30 for 30s? Do you think that's part of it?
No.
Because sometimes it doesn't even matter.
We watch 10 hours of Michael Jordan.
Like, I've been compelled, like the two Escobars, the one on Greg LeMond. There's some 30 for 30s out there that I am not a huge fan of the sport necessarily, that the subject is, but they were great stories. They were great 30 for 30s. So I don't know. I'm just trying to think of factors as to why it would have been that low. Especially in this window where there's no, it's not like it's going up against five games, right? There's no games.
Nope.
So the last
Sunday
dance,
night.
The
last night
dance
of TV
jumped on it. Yeah, the last dance jumped all over that and took full advantage. The Lance thing, I don't. What were the ratings for the Lance Armstrong one? Were they good?
I haven't seen them. I
will say, just kind of as a comparison, you know, the NASCAR race got delayed several times, so it was basically a night race, and it was on Big Fox. And they had 2.48 million viewers. So, I mean, that I think they had a pretty good viewership, you know, with 2.48.
They had 775,000 watching Long Gone Summer.
So, I mean, that – I don't know if there's a correlation between the two, but, you know, with what we're talking about with baseball, I mean, if you're so fed up with baseball and them fighting with themselves – and then you have a sport that's really jumped ahead of everybody with their return and getting new faces and new fans. I mean, that definitely could have taken away some viewers. You know, I went back and watched it later on demand after the race was over.
Yeah, I mean, that's I guess is part of the equation as to how many people end up watching it at one time or another. But I definitely can see somebody sitting there going, "I'm mad at baseball." and now you want me to watch a documentary that made me mad at baseball or makes me mad at baseball because of how we look back on 98. I can see that, to where that person said, I'm not going to watch this. I'm already mad at baseball. Does that make sense? I mean, I'm just theorizing as to why
it totally makes sense.
If it was not for this job and I knew we would talk about it, there was times when I really wanted to bounce. Like, I wasn't interested, but I didn't. I stuck with it. But if I didn't, if I'm somebody out there just watching and I don't have, you know, the job part of it in mind, it doesn't matter one way or the other whether I watch it, I could see so many people just bouncing. It wasn't that compelling.
Yeah. I taped it and I watched half of it on Sunday night and half of it Monday morning before the show. And I thought it could have been way better. I didn't sit there and go, wow, I didn't know that. You know, there wasn't a whole lot. It was pretty simple on how they did it. And I wish they could have delved a little further into it. And even things like Vince Ferrara, he said, you know, the music was weak. You know, there was nothing that gripped you with
the
music production
was weird.
Of it. You know, they could have gone way more into detail. I heard Jason Stark's take on it on his podcast. And he was, you know, as somebody that covered it every day, he said there were so many wacky things that happened. Like, I don't understand the whole thing about, you know, the auction of the ball. I mean, that's one thing they could have put in there. But there were so many things that happened during the phenomenon of the summer that they just didn't delve into. They just kept it very simple, vanilla.
Yep. Yeah.
And as Chris said, you know, they didn't have any real compelling historical after the fact reflection, you know, from McGuire or Sosa that really had you go, wow, you know, that was really good stuff.
You know, I know that this, like, a normal fan wouldn't notice this at all, but I guess this is just, you know, what I went to school for, but how they framed some of the interviews were weird. We're not how you usually do it, with the kind of looking away. That kept bothering me the whole time, just how everything was framed up.
You mean kind of like Roger Goodell? Did anybody feel like he wasn't looking into the camera a lot?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, that was
wasn't
weird.
That weird? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Weird. Yeah,
no, it's like did. It's like the camera was above what he was looking into, and it was like he was looking down.
That's been happening some. If you watch a lot of these, like, I don't know if it's where you're looking on your computer, where you think the. Or, like, if there's a split screen, you're looking at the person you're talking to, but you're not looking directly into the camera. It can look like you're looking off into the distance. So part of that, I think, I feel like that's happened to a lot of people. You're like, wow, why am I not looking at, like, I watch myself back on a Zoom. Like, I'm turning and I'm looking at this square that's in the upper corner of my screen, and I'm not looking directly into the camera on my computer. I don't know if that explains it or not.
Yeah, well, that's what Roger Goodell was doing last night. It felt like he was never looking into the camera at all. Speaking of the NFL has announced that the Pro Bowl in 2021 will be. Anybody seen this?
I have.
In Las Vegas.
Interesting. How about that?
Shocking. What? You build a state-of-the-art facility and, gosh, you're going to start getting events? It's weird. What's next? I mean, Super Bowl? I mean, what's
National
championship game? I mean, Final Four? I mean, what's that's weird.
I thought it was interesting, too. Another little tidbit story was that, you know, we've all wondered how each sport is going to go about it. We've commented before how golf lends itself to social distancing. You're not, you know, logistically, you could pull it off their back. Now, tennis, I've always thought that, too. You know, it's, you know, I guess doubles, you're fairly close to each other, but I haven't heard much about tennis. But today they announced that the U.S. Open in New York City, which has been, as we know, they call it the epicenter of COVID-19 in the United States. They're going to play the U.S. Open in August with no fans. So I'm glad they're going to get that in there.
Yeah, that'll
I
be cool.
I did see that announcement, yeah. Especially,
I mean,
like you said.
We can watch.
The
area
where
it is. Well, I don't know what the plan of the Wimbledon is, but Wimbledon is just out, right? It's not been rescheduled. It's just canceled,
mm-hmm.
right?
Well, it's like the British Open in golf. You know, they've just canceled it. because
yeah, it was not postponed. It was canceled.
Yeah.
All right, we'll come back and put a bow on a very fast-paced Tuesday show. We'll do that next. Hey, you can stream us from anywhere. Download the Game Nashville app. That's free and easy. You can enable Alexa Skill or Google Home and ask it to play 102.5 The Game or live stream from our website, which is thegamenashville.com. All easy ways, easy things to do. Back here on Darren, Donick, and Chase. Good show today, guys.
Good show. It has been good. It's flown by. I'm tired now because of it. It's been good.
We know the NBA and MLS are going to be down in Orlando, Willie's old stomping grounds. And MLS is getting close. The NBA is still – it's pretty interesting, you know, where this is going with some of their players. Well, sorry, I was doing a little multitasking. Jimmy – our buddy Jimmy Shapiro just put out some odds that are –
oh, my.
I saw that come in, but I haven't looked at it.
Okay, don't look because it literally just came in. Can I switch gears real quick because this is intriguing before we get out of here?
Well, hit that in a second. Let me just give you one comment on Orlando because I've been following it. The eagerness for that state to open up and say, come on down, play. You can play here, right? I'm a little bit concerned because of their aggressiveness that they are seeing more cases. And really, there's a lot of places. I mean, here we are in Nashville, even in Davidson County, where they have been more cautious, and still we're seeing numbers go up as we open up. And some of that is inevitable, right? That's just going to happen. We have to push through it to a degree. We have to be very smart. I mean, we emphasize the same things all the time, but we have to keep doing it. You've got to wear the mask when you go out there. It is important. Distancing is important. Keeping your hands clean is important. All of that will equate to how many cases you have. But I'm curious about Orlando, like the eagerness to have to be open, and you've got these leagues that have gone down there and they're saying, okay, we're going to play down there. But if you're an NBA player or a soccer player for the MLS, are you safer in that Disney area, even if there are a lot of cases spreading around the state? I do wonder, are you in a bubble because you are, you know, Disney, like I'm from Orlando, right, where my hometown is, you know, 30, 40 minutes from Disney World. And when you get to Disney World, you feel like you're in another world, right? It is isolated. It's off, set back from the highway. You know, it's not like you're looking over the highway and there's Disney World. It's its own community. So I wonder, I know that's probably part of the appeal. I wonder if they're a little bit worried, Adam Silver and the MLS. Ooh, these cases are looking a little hot spot here. Whereas, you know, the NHL, this is part of the reason I think they haven't committed to the two cities yet. Right, because they want to see closer to when the time is, what that city looks like.
From everything I've been seeing lately on the NBA front, it doesn't seem like that is the issue. It's more about taking, I guess, attention away from the real issue, what's going on in our country. I don't really see anything out there about them talking about what you're bringing up. Unless I've missed an interview. Or read something. I haven't seen anything on that front. It's really just about taking attention away from what's going on. There's a bigger picture with what's going on in our society, and they feel like basketball could serve as, you know, something that will take attention away from that. So I don't know about what you're bringing up because I just haven't seen or heard from any NBA players that have expressed that. It seems to be about other things.
Yeah. That's how I've seen it, that it's been about the other stuff.
Will Colin Kaepernick sign with an NFL team before week one? Something I brought up yesterday on the show.
You want odds that we were asking for?
It's actually pretty low. Pretty low odds.
I would say yes is plus 250.
Plus 200.
Okay.
Yes is plus 200. No is?
Minus 200?
Minus 300.
300. Okay.
Yep. So, that's not crazy.
No. And that, I mean, is simply based on he hadn't played in 3 years. And that's how I'd look at it.
Yeah.
You know, they can, you can say what you want about this entire situation. They can, they, Goodell can encourage a team to sign him. At the end of the day, they have to bring him in for a workout and they have to determine, does he still have something left? And then you have to determine, okay, well, he's good enough for us to at least look at in a training camp, and then he has to make the team.
Right.
So there's a lot
he's aged 4 years since all of this went down. That's the sad part. This would be a little simpler if even 2 years ago, I think would have been, you might have at least a better idea of what his skill set looks like at his age. But his age, and it's been 4 years since he's played, just taking that in a vacuum, that it's going to make it tougher. But we know how tough it is. We know how few really good quarterbacks there are out there. It's, you know, reliable backups. That's the intriguing part. So I'm not surprised at all that Vegas and our buddy Jimmy is coming up with some odds here.
Will there be an MLB regular season?
let's see. Yes.
I'm at 60% yes.
Well, I'm looking at it from an odds standpoint. I would say yes, -120. No.
-250, actually.
-250, okay.
No is what?
+350.
+175.
Ooh. Okay.
How many games?
It was zero, if it was zero, it would be 50-50.
That'd be even.
Is that how that works? I don't know how the plus minus works. I don't speak that language.
How many games will they play during the regular season? The favorite is 51-65. Second favorite is 50 or less. Third favorite is 66 or more.
Interesting.
Yep. There you go. Good way to end today's show. Really appreciate all the great guests that joined us. Enjoy the day. Be safe. We want you back with us tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. We'll see you then.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21+. Terms and conditions apply.